This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Shopify.
A few years ago, scientists discovered something impossible in Chernobyl. Animals were thriving in radiation levels that should have killed them. In the 50s, the United States tested 23 nuclear weapons at Bikini Atoll. The area is still radioactive, yet life flourishes there. Plants and animals grow faster than they should. After the Fukushima disaster, animals developed stronger antioxidant systems. They reproduced faster. This happened in just 15 years. How can plants and animals evolve so quickly? Well, they can't. They activated ancient genetic sequences designed to survive radiation. Genes that were always there, waiting. And in Earth's most radioactive places, those genes are waking up.
Drop whatever useless nonsense you're doing and help me. This is a crisis of monumental proportions.
What now?
I've done it. I've cracked the code, the secret to ultimate power.
Oh, no.
I've started selling cryptid detection kits. Now everyone can uncover hidden cryptid lairs, unexplained tracks, and Yeti sightings for themselves. DIY plaster molds, special tracking goggles, and a full cryptid map all included. It's a genius business model.
Genius or criminally irresponsible?
My store is blowing up. Orders are pouring in. Mothman fans, Jersey Devil hunters, even a guy who swears the chupacabra is his emotional support animal. They all want kit.
That sounds profitable.
Too profitable. I can't keep up. My inbox is flooded. Why doesn't the Bigfoot tracker beep louder? The Mothman spotting goggles make everything look like moths. How am I supposed to manage all this?
Well, it sounds like you need Shopify. They'll actually manage the chaos for you.
Oh, did you just troll me in a sponsor trap, did you, perchance?
Sure did. Shopify is the ultimate commerce platform for starting, running, and growing a business. Whether you're selling online, in person, or across social media, Shopify has everything you need to succeed. Shopify simplifies everything. You can design your store easily, track sales in real time, and use powerful marketing tools to grow your audience. It's trusted by millions of entrepreneurs in over 170 countries to manage inventory, process payments, and scale their businesses. Whether you're just starting out or ready to take your business to the next level, Shopify makes it easy to turn your ideas into reality.
Doesn't answer customer complaints.
Shopify Inbox lets you chat directly with customers to handle questions and keep your customers happy.
What about refunds? Because those aren't happening.
Shopify's got you covered with tools to handle returns and even upsell better products to boost your sales. Shopify also simplifies shipping, taxes, and international sales so you can reach customers everywhere. And with Shopify Magic, AI tools help you write better product descriptions, improve images, and elevate email campaigns. We actually use Shopify here at the studio to handle our merch orders. It's made managing and shipping merchandise to our fans simple, efficient, and stress-free. Start your free trial today by going to shopify.com/yfiles.
Go to shopify.com/yfiles.
That's right. With Shopify, you can focus on the important stuff, like dreaming up your next brilliant idea.
I was speaking of, I got a new product in the works. Hecklefish's Mothman Nightlight. Keeps you safe while summoning cryptids.
Right, because nothing says safe like glowing red eyes in the dark.
I know! Wait.
What?
Listen, did you smell that? The Mothman Nightlight just flickered. I think it's working. I gotta go.
Yeah, but...
March 1st, 1954, Bikini Atoll, Operation Castle, Test Bravo. The military expected a 5-megaton blast. They got 15. This miscalculation created a blast 1,000 times stronger than Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Uh-oh. Someone forgot to carry the one.
The fireball reached 20 million degrees Fahrenheit in under a second. That's 2,000 times hotter than the sun's surface and twice the temperature of the sun's core. The mushroom cloud stretched 25 miles high. The blast carved a crater in the sea floor over a mile wide and 300 feet deep enough for a 30-story building.
Why the hell are you humans still messing with nukes?
I honestly don't know.
Nah, it's a good thing the aliens will protect you.
Will they?
Yeah, protect or enslave. We'll find out soon enough.
The explosion vaporized three small islands. The lagoon became a radioactive soup. Wind patterns spread fallout across thousands of miles. Locals suffered radiation sickness and evacuated. Over 4 years, there were another 22 nuclear tests. Scientists believed nothing could survive this. They were wrong. Researchers found nearly 100 species of fish and coral thriving in radioactive water. What?
This is how Godzilla was born.
Yeah, I don't think...
From the depths, dirty stories high, breathes fire, his head in the sky.
Okay.
Godzilla! Godzilla!
Please stop.
Godzilla!
I'm begging you.
Engatsuki!
The crater left by the nuclear bomb was covered in coral, vast colonies of it. Then the researchers found the crabs.
Oh, they make a shampoo for that.
No. Coconut crabs on the beach.
Ah, that makes more sense.
These crabs eat radioactive coconuts. The water, soil, and trees contain cesium-137, a radioactive isotope that destroys DNA and causes cancer. Tests showed lethal radiation levels in the crabs, but they're fine.
Oh, maybe this explains the crab cat.
Yeah, let's stay focused. This pattern repeats at every nuclear disaster site. Different animals, same response. For some reason, nature knows how to handle radiation. But when did life develop these defenses? And why? Well, years later, Chernobyl provided a clue. Deep in Ukraine's radioactive exclusion zone, something strange was happening to the wolves. In 1986, a safety test at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant failed. The explosion released 400 times more radiation than Hiroshima. The Soviet military gave 100,000 residents hours to evacuate. They established a 1,000-square-mile exclusion zone around the reactor. The land was declared dead. Nature disagreed. In 2014, Dr. Kara Love studied wolves in the CEZ. Their blood work revealed genetic changes that defied evolution. In just 15 generations, the wolves activated specific DNA repair mechanisms. Each generation grew more and more resistant to radiation.
The wolves are exposed to 6 times the legal safety limit of radiation every day of their lives. Now, researchers identified the wolves' genetics seemed resilient to increased cancer risk.
But wolves weren't the only animals changing. When Chernobyl was evacuated, people were not allowed to bring their pets. Thousands of cats and dogs were left behind. Most of these animals died from radiation exposure, but not all of them. Studies documented over 800 descendants of the original abandoned dogs living in the exclusion zone.
What happened to the cats?
Well, not much research when it's studying the cats.
Yeah, because nobody cares.
Stop it. DNA samples from the Chernobyl dogs show their genetics are so unique that they could be classified as a new species. Other animals adapted differently. Eastern tree frogs are normally bright green. In Chernobyl, they're black. The increased melanin in their skin protects them from radiation. Birds in the zone develop darker feathers to survive. In 2013, a study revealed that they weren't creating new abilities. They were awakening old ones. And then there's the fungus.
Oh, they make a cream for that.
No, not that kind.
Hey. What did the mushroom say to the girl he was trying to pick up at the bar?
Will you let me get through this, please?
Oh, fine. Go ahead and kill all the fun, guy.
Black fungi in Chernobyl don't just resist radiation. They eat it. They grow toward the reactor core, converting gamma radiation to chemical energy, like plants convert sunlight. NASA tested these fungi on the International Space Station. They processed cosmic radiation in zero gravity. Similar species appeared at other radiation sites. At Fukushima, fungi activated their radiation processing abilities within hours of exposure. When radiation levels dropped, they returned to normal. Johns Hopkins discovered these fungi adapt to different radiation types. From gamma rays to beta particles. Their genes contain instructions for processing all kinds of radiation. These same genes appear in 50 million year old fungi fossils. So why did ancient life forms develop protection against radiation? Dr. Lynn Rothschild is an astrobiologist at NASA. She says Earth's atmosphere millions of years ago provided less insulation from cosmic radiation. For life to survive, it would have developed methods to protect itself and then pass them down through DNA. Now, this makes sense, but there's a hiccup. Cosmic radiation is mostly protons. The fungi have defenses against neutrons, beta particles, and gamma rays. These don't come from space. These come from uranium nuclear reactors.
Hang on.
What?
Humans didn't have nuclear reactors 50 million years ago.
That's true, they didn't.
So what are you talking about? They found a nuclear reactor from millions of years ago?
No.
Oh.
They found 17 of them. There was a time in Earth's history when radiation was much, much higher. In Gabon, West Africa, scientists discovered evidence of at least 17 natural nuclear reactors that operated 2 billion years ago. The Oklo reactors, as they're called, sustained nuclear fission for hundreds of thousands of years. And these reactors weren't small. Each site produced around 100 kilowatts of power. Groundwater moderated the reactions, creating natural on-off cycles, just like modern nuclear reactors.
Who built the reactors?
Well,
yeah, Nunaki. Think the Anunnaki episode down in the old juicy jug.
No, they're...
It's from the nuclear war between Atlantis and Lemuria. Link to Atlantis episode stuffed in your booty box.
No.
The nuclear war with Mars. Link the Mars episode down in your pucker pot.
Well, scientists are pretty sure they're natural nuclear reactors.
Yeah, but not 100% sure.
Well, science can never be 100% sure about anything. Oklo wasn't unique. Similar isotope patterns in Colorado's uranium deposits suggest ancient fission reactions. Uranium mines in Australia show nuclear activity from billions of years ago. The Gunflint Chert contains Earth's oldest fossils, 1.9 billion-year-old microorganisms with radiation adaptations matching modern bacteria. Life maintained these defenses even as Earth's radiation levels decreased, like a biological memory. These mechanisms remained intact through billions of years of evolution. This is how evolution and genetics work. You know this. You also know that genes and traits that are no longer useful are eventually removed from the gene pool. But if that's true, why are these genes still here? And why are they in human DNA?
What?
Radiation response mechanisms match genetic markers found in ancient human settlements. Our ancestors faced this before. They also developed radiation resistance. How do we know? Because their children are still here. In Ramsar, Iran, people live with radiation levels 10 times higher than safety limits, yet they have normal cancer rates and normal lifespans.
What we found was that people who lived in the high background areas had significantly fewer induced chromosomal abnormalities than their neighbors who lived maybe just a few kilometers away where background radiation levels were normal.
It sounds totally improbable, but it appears that radiation may actually help the body resist genetic damage.
Studies reveal Ramsar residents have enhanced DNA repair abilities. Their cells fix radiation damage faster than it accumulates.
It's like a whole village of toxic Avengers.
Really?
What? It's a compliment.
Things are gonna change in this town. I'm not just another pretty face.
Similar populations exist in other parts of the world. Guarapari in Brazil is famous for its beauty, biodiversity, and unique radioactive black sand. The Brazilian Nuclear Energy Commission documented enhanced DNA repair in locals going back generations. These populations also have something else in common. Their settlements date back thousands of years. Archaeological evidence shows continuous human habitation near natural radiation sources. Göbekli Tepe, one of humanity's oldest sites, is built near uranium deposits. Similar deposits lie beneath Mesopotamia's oldest cities. These radiation levels should have driven humans away. Instead, our ancestors stayed and became resistant. They passed that resistance to their children, who also passed it on. These protections are not just in the genes of people living near radioactive sites. They're in all of us. And they could be the catalyst for humanity's next great leap. Space agencies in every country are trying to unlock human potential. This potential might be achieved in space. Enhanced DNA repair, conscious control over our metabolism, natural radiation shielding. Within a century, we might activate these dormant abilities at will. In 1,000 years, as humans colonize space, different environments will drive unique adaptations. Colonists on Mars, Titan, and Europa will evolve differently. Each population will adapt to their local radiation signature and environment. In 10,000 years, space-dwelling humans might process radiation like food. Their skin could generate protective fields. Their DNA might repair itself instantly. While this is purely speculation, we know these abilities exist in Chernobyl's fungi. That's why NASA is so interested in this. Further into the future, we might develop new senses. The ability to detect different types of radiation and heat. Enhanced vision that would allow us to see ultraviolet or infrared. Some animals on Earth already have these abilities. Even further into the future, humans might develop senses that utilize quantum biology.
Oh, quantum biology. Did you just make that up?
Nope. European robins navigate perfectly in darkness across thousands of miles. Moths detect mates miles away. Plants convert sunlight with near-perfect efficiency. For decades, scientists couldn't explain these abilities. Now they think they know. These animals are tapping into the quantum realm. The robin's eye contains a protein called cryptochrome. When struck by light, it creates quantum entangled electrons that react to the Earth's magnetic field.
I think, having studied quantum mechanics myself years and years ago, I would never have realized then, or even believed, I think, that it would be possible that quantum mechanical effects could be actually housed within the eye of a bird. That is a huge surprise. And that's nothing we learned in quantum mechanics when I was young.
One theory says that dogs' sense of smell uses quantum tunneling. They detect quantum vibrations of molecules that they perceive as scents. Even plants tap into the quantum realm. When sunlight hits a leaf, it always chooses the most efficient route. The energy uses quantum superposition to explore all possible pathways at once. This is exactly how quantum computers work.
Quantum apocalypse linked down in your sugar basket.
In 1,000,000 years, humans in space might develop similar abilities. And the framework for this might already be in place.
I'm claiming that we need new physics to understand consciousness. Now, when I mean new physics here, I mean something outside the physics we know, but it's not simply invented for the purpose of explaining consciousness. It's something which I think we need anyway.
Physicists Roger Penrose and Stuart Hameroff believe consciousness comes from quantum processes in brain cells. Microtubules in the cells create quantum states that become conscious thought.
I realize these microtubules are there, and they look like just the kind of thing that could well be supporting the kind of level of quantum mechanics up to a level where you could expect the quantum state to sort of collapse. That's the terminology people use in quantum mechanics.
And microtubules, they are inside brain neurons?
They are indeed.
You know how waves collapse into particles when they're observed?
If you don't, the human explains it in a simulation theory episode linked down in your luscious love locker.
Think of your consciousness as waves of possibility. These waves exist in multiple states at once. When these quantum states collapse, you experience a moment of awareness.
whenever the state reduces, whenever the wave function collapses, that's what this is doing. It's associated with a moment of what we call proto-consciousness.
For 30 years, scientists dismissed it as fringe thinking, but now the evidence is getting harder to ignore.
Evidence is emerging that microtubules may exhibit interesting quantum behaviors after all.
There are certain quantum states in microtubules that if you have a coherent gravitational collapse of these, orchestrated collapse of these, somehow consciousness arises.
Where now there is a concrete evidence that quantum physics has exactly the properties that describe consciousness and free will.
If consciousness uses quantum mechanics, your thoughts transcend ordinary physics. Your consciousness could be part of a quantum reality that connects you and me and everyone across space and time. This sounds like speculation, but every mechanism I described today exists in nature. Every adaptation has appeared in some form of life. The quantum reality that creates your consciousness is the same quantum reality that governs everything in the universe. And everything in the universe, you, me, our planet, our sun, all come from the same source.
The very matter that makes us up was generated long ago and far away in red giant stars. A blade of grass, as Walt Whitman said, is the journey work of the stars.
Carl Sagan said we're made of star stuff. The evidence suggests he was right in ways he never imagined. Those ancient stars didn't just create the atoms that make up our bodies. They might have encoded the blueprint for consciousness itself. I like this theory because it means we're all connected. Our time on Earth is short, but maybe that's the point. We're here to experience physical life and take those experiences back to our source, where we share them and learn from them. Maybe our real lives aren't here. Maybe our real lives are out there, among the stars. Out there, the stars are showing us we're part of a shared consciousness, temporarily wearing human form. Out there, the stars are preparing us for an awakening that will reshape our reality. Out there, the stars are calling us home.
Our ancestors worshiped the sun, and they were far from foolish. It makes good sense to revere the sun and the stars, because we are their children.
Thank you so much for hanging out today. My name is AJ. There's Hecklefish.
I'm Tony. Arigato gozaimasu.
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do him a favor. Subscribe, comment, like, share. It's a small thing for you, but it's really huge for us. Like most topics we cover on the channel, today's was recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see or learn more about, go to theyfiles.com/tips. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here on the channel, and I also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. Like, I think this week we're doing Nazi prophecies. Oh, I shouldn't have said the N-word. Am I already demonetized? I'm leaving it in. Anyway, the podcast is called The Y-Files, Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. Now, if you need more Y-Files in your life, you may want to see a doctor. But if you do need more Y-Files, check out our Discord. We just crossed 70,000 members, so there's someone on there 24/7, and they're into the same stuff that we are here. It's a great community. It's really supportive. It's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. If you want to know what's going on with the Y-Files at any time, check out our production calendar. It's theyfiles.com/cal. There we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, all that stuff. Special thanks to our patrons who made this channel possible. Every episode is dedicated to our Patreon members. I could not do this without you. Your support blows me away every time I think about it, and I'm so proud of the community that we've built together. Thank you. And if you'd like to support the channel and join this amazing community, consider becoming a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, plus access to merch only available to members, and two private live streams, at least two private live streams every week, just for members. And they're really different. My webcam is on, you get to meet the whole team. You turn your camera on, jump up on stage, ask a question, suggest a topic, talk about anything you like. I think it's the best perk there is. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
Grab a heck of a t-shirt! What are these, coffee mugs that you stick your fist in, or whatever radiated deformed limb that you got you want to jam in there, and or just enjoy a beverage, whatever you want to do. Or grab a hoodie with my face on it, or get one of these creepy voodoo dolls that will scare everybody, your neighbors and your kids. Or get one of these squeezy animal hecklefish tugging doll toys.
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
A secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. The crap got and got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra, of being only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe I'm dancing with the Hecklefish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and Wi-Fi all through the night. All I ever wanted was to just hear the truth, so the Wi-Fi's on repeat all through the night. The Mothman sightings and the solar storm still come to a god, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. In a simulation, don't you worry though, the Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe I'm dancing with the fish. Hecklefish on Thursday.